Welcome back to another Your Ball Was Out podcast by Phil from Tweenerhead Tennis. Now today we have one of our recurring guests. We have David Kane, who is a WTA insider for the Tweenerhead Tennis YouTube channel and for Your Ball Was Out podcast, who writes for tennis.com. It's always great having David on to talk about the WTA in full effect with updates coming from the WTA Tour, and we're very excited to have him on once again. Today we talk about Madison Keys, Sabalenka versus Swiatek, which one is better for the brand, and so much more. Now, before you enjoy our chat with David Kane, today's episode is brought to you by Universal Tennis Power Subscription. Not only do you get to see a more detailed number to see where you stack up against your opponents and other players on the UTR Sports website, but you also get power perks. Includes 30% off Tennis Warehouse, 30% off Total Pickleball, 35% off the UTR Shop, 25% off Diadem, $30 off Whoop, and 20% off Print, and so much more. If you are interested in that and you're interested in supporting the podcast and the YouTube channel, make sure to check out the link in the description and the bio of this podcast. And without further ado, enjoy our latest chat and WTA update from our very own insider, David Kane from tennis.com.
Welcome back, David. That's all I have to say. After being sick for virtually 2 months and now back on the channel after the Australian Open and him having one of the weirdest schedules I've ever heard of. David, welcome back to the channel.
Quite a cold open, Phil. Yes, it's true.
You're welcome.
I've been sick for like two out of the last 3 months, but I'm finally back on the podcast circuit. I guessed it on the gay tennis podcast last week, but I suppose
any
gay tennis podcast. So I suppose this is the gayer.
It's Jesus Christ. See, it's like we haven't missed a beat. It's always great having David on.
Still missed me.
Always. It's always.
His New Year's resolution was to have me on more.
No, the New Year's resolution was to not be verbally abused by you for 90 minutes. So that was great.
I'll settle for making you blush then.
Okay, can we start over?
He's already pink, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, David, where do we start? Let's just start with the biggest 2025 headline. Madison Keys, 29 years old, winning her first Grand Slam. And after making, 10 years ago, but I don't think it was 10 years ago. What was it, 2017 with Sloan?
Oh, the final was in, she made her first Slam final in 2017. She made her first Slam semifinal 10 years ago at 19 at the Australian Open, lost to Serena.
Jesus Christ. Madison's been around for a while, and it has always been in the conversation of American women's tennis of hitting that pinnacle of like, who's going to replace Serena? Who's going to replace Venus? But like, Madison was always on that next train of American talent before Coco Gauff, before Pegula. And honestly, she deserves it.
I mean, to put it in perspective, Madison Keys won her first WTA match when I believe Coco was 5. And they're not that much.
What is it? She's Coco just turned 21?
Yeah. Well, she will next month.
Next month, she's turning 21, yeah. And Madison is turning 30. Yeah. I'm turning 30 this year.
But it feels the
longevity of women's tennis, I feel like a lot of people don't understand, is like, you start playing at 14, 15, and then you end up still playing. Like 10 years into the tour is when you're 25. Think about that. It's like you're hitting your peak of like young, not even young adulthood, but it's like you've already amassed a giant career before you even hit like your late 20s. So for her to be there, it's another level.
No, I was going to say, I just remember poor Casper Ruud talking about that a few years ago at the US Open, feeling like he was middle-aged at 22, 23.
That's what's crazy. That's what tennis does to you. Like, in all of sports, too, you hit 29, 30-ish, and you're already on the back half of your career in terms of age. So it's, you look at someone like Madison Keys, who literally hasn't given up and wins her first Grand Slam in Australia, says a lot. And I feel like she definitely had a lot of people rooting for her in that sense.
hasn't given up, but I do think this was probably like the last push, one could say. Like in a world in which this didn't work, I think we would have seen a glide path out of tennis sooner rather than later. I mean, like we said, this is someone who's been on tour for a very long time. This is someone who just got married and seems open to the possibility of starting a family. And so at the age, at the bracket that she's in, you know, financially speaking, I'm sure she's not hurting and would probably be looking forward to that next chapter. And so I
As of
think,
right now, yes.
yeah, so in many ways, that's sort of, you know, not to jump too far ahead, but that feels like the question for Maddie is this a springboard or is this a lifetime achievement award? And I think the next 12 months will sort of bear that out. But on the other, I mean, because that seems fairly clear, but on the other hand, like she did make a lot of improvements and a lot of changes in a short period of time to make this happen. And so you feel like, well, maybe this is someone who is looking ahead, you know, 3 to 5 years. But then again, you know, on the third hand, wasn't it Andy Murray who changed his racket like 2 months before retiring? So you can make a big change and then maybe not plan to be on tour for that long
Well,
either.
it seems like it started with that when Madison switched over to Yonex and they really pushed on that. I'm just surprised, in all honesty, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the fact that Nike has stayed with Madison Keys and even came out with a campaign with Madison after she won the Australian Open says a lot about how determined they were to keep her on, at least for their athletes, right?
I guess. I mean, she's with that, you know, she's with IMG. She's in the Max Eisenbud bubble, and they have a very good relationship with Nike. So I would, that doesn't surprise me that she's one of the ones that have stayed with that brand for a long time. But I mean, I feel like in many podcasts over the years, I've been tough on Madison Keys because I feel like this is someone who has immense talent and potential and maybe thought in the back of her mind that eventually she would win a slam, that maybe she wouldn't have to make the radical changes that maybe other players have been asked to make, and that eventually things would just fall into place. And after a decade and a half of that not happening, I'm glad to see that she did make some substantial changes to the game. She did fix the serve motion. She did change rackets, and you see how that helps. That extra, what, even if it's just 5%, like this is a game played on margins, and when you're five all or six all in the third set, and you're going for as much as Maddie's going for, you know, you need to the ball to go in at that point. And you need to feel confident to go for the shot and feel confident that it's going to go in. And I think that's what we saw both in the semifinal and the final, that confidence and inner peace that she could go for her shots and that they were going to go in.
And I think that comes with too the fact that you talked about having therapy, and this has been said on other podcasts as well, but the fact that she came out and said that she wasn't just speaking to a sports psychologist, she was speaking about her life. She was speaking to a therapist and understanding what really makes her happy and resolving things off the court that translate onto the court. And that's something very, I would say, brave in terms of mental health, because we're in this generation now where mental health is taking a front seat in an athlete's car, and it's allowing them to kind of talk about what's going on and be honest about what's happening in their lives. And it's great to see that Madison's really opening up about that and being such a happy person and having all of these foundations and charities that she's able to kind of build her brand around. And now that she's kind of finally done that, it's just all come together naturally.
Kindness wins.
It really does. Honestly, it does. The one thing I will say about, if we were to talk about her final, I think it was just the perfect matchup to beat Sabalenka. It was like she out Sabalenka'd her from the baseline.
Yeah, and I think that's why Arena, as angry as she was in the immediate aftermath of the match, the way that she was able to recover for the trophy ceremony and for the post-match press conferences makes me feel that this is someone who understood that this is someone who just played her game better than she could that day. And I think she also is aware that that's not going to happen that often. You know, there, first of all, there are only so many players on tour who can hit the ball as hard as Sabalenka, and there are even fewer who can do it as consistently as Sabalenka is proven capable of doing. And for a while, I think Keys was in the former camp and certainly not in the latter camp. And now the question is again whether she can consistently play that game. You know, obviously Sabalenka has a much larger body of work than Keys at this point. I mean, the consistency that Sabalenka has put down at these majors is impressive. I mean, we haven't seen a player go for that much and be that consistent since Serena and Maria. So that
Yeah.
it may be a Kvitova, but even a Kvitova has had up and down. So that's the question.
And I think with that question comes a lot of not concerns, but the fact of the matter that Madison is now top 10 in the world and she is now going to be asked about her consistency and how, like, for me at least, when you talk about Madison Keys, there's always going to be a little like, that's great. Will she maintain that throughout the year? Will she be able to do that? Because she's had an unbelievable start in Australia. Now it's going to become, does she have a shot at doing the same thing at Wimbledon? Would she have the same thing at the US Open? And could she have done this at any other major? Because Sabalenka is going for a three-peat. That's a lot of mental pressure. Australia has always been one, at least in the women's game, at least in my mind, where anyone can kind of win. Same with the US Open. And that's just my opinion because you look at Sofia Kenin winning a major and then, no offense, falling off the face of the earth. Emma Raducanu, like the US Open as well, kind of that theme of does really well, but then what happens next? Am I wrong to presume that?
I mean, I feel like
You can
we've
tell
seen
me
some
I'm wrong.
randomish Roland Garros and Wimbledon champions over the
That's
last
true.
decade. I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily think of the Australian Open. I mean, especially the Australian Open, one that, Serena won a bunch of times. Like, I don't know if I
Yeah.
necessarily think of that as a place where, I mean, I understand the logic of like it's the first big tournament of the season. Maybe there's some rust, then maybe
Yeah.
that can lead to some surprising results. I don't really think Maddie's going to be under a ton of pressure this year. I think any pressure that is put on her will be from herself and whatever like expectations she now believes that she can and will or wants to achieve. And
Yeah.
this is someone who said coming into it that this is, she learned to live without the idea of a major, and which is actually something similar to what I think Marketa Vondrousova had come to from a mental perspective, feeling like I'm probably never going to win a slam. And then she immediately won a slam. So like, I remember even saying to her at the US Open, I said, well, now are you picturing like you can never win a second? And then maybe that'll help
Yeah.
you win a second slam. So because I feel like there, like you said, I think there's a ton of goodwill for Keys from fans and from the media that I don't think there's going to be a lot of like finger wagging of like, now you need to win two slams or can you win a second? I think a lot of it is just going to be this sort of afterglow because it's such a, in some ways, it's such an easy story. Like,
Yeah.
this is a player who we all know from a very young age and all this potential. She struggled with injuries, inconsistency. She finally, she gets married. She's in a moment of personal happiness. She makes these, technical and equipment changes and has some great success. So I don't know if there's going to be a lot of like nitpicking of
Yeah.
that story, but I do think when she comes to Wimbledon, there will be. She will be one of the players on the shortlist to win
Yeah.
that title or make the final. I do think that, especially if she plays well through the hard courts and plays well enough on the clay, which she has in the past.
Yeah.
She's made a Roland Garros semifinal, I'm pretty sure. So that's not off, clay is not off the table for her. And I think she even made a Rome final. So this is her, lack of success on clay is often over exaggerated as well. So this is
That's
someone who
true.
can play well throughout the
That's
year.
true.
And now
That's
the question
true.
is whether she'll do it.
See, this is why I like talking to David because I'll throw out something very irrational and very fan-based thinking, and he'll correct me saying that this is all wrong and this is what actually happens on the tour. It's true. And going back to what you said too about Vondrousova saying that she can see her career without a slam. Keys saying she came to peace with her career not having a slam. I think who quoted this? Someone mentioned that the first time Keys heard someone say that she was going to win a Grand Slam was probably when she was 9 or 11.
Sure.
And it's 20 years later and she won her first slam. Like, that's, you have to admit, that's a lot of pressure. Like, for anyone too, like, think about kids that like kids that I teach, like, that are really serious about tennis. They want to win a Grand Slam. They want to be number one in the world. Saying that and doing that are two very different things. And imagine someone telling you that you're going to win a slam at 9 years old, and then you still having the mental toughness and the ability to still play and win without actually achieving that. That must be some mental toll of, I can't even fathom how much pressure that would be.
Yeah, I think part of why I don't think there's going to be a lot of like more pressure now is because a lot of people have been, loud and wrong about Madison Keys for the last 15 years that she's absolutely going to win a slam. She's absolutely going to win multiple slams. And every time she would win a tournament before Wimbledon or win, Cincinnati, it's, oh my God, here she comes. And it wouldn't bear out. And like, I think a lot of people ended up feeling like maybe they had some egg on their face. And so the fact that she finally did come good and win her slam, I think it's going to be a moment of like kind of not contrition, but I think it's just going to be that victory lap moment for everybody. Everyone's going to be like, well, I always knew you had it in you, and not feel like to turn around and be like, well, now can you win? How many more can you win? I think there's an understanding that this is someone who is on the back end of her career, who has, is following perhaps in the footsteps of other players who have, won their slam and exited shortly thereafter. So I don't think there's going to be a ton of, but there is that the exciting thing about Keys is now this is someone who, with the level of power to compete consistently with Aryna Sabalenka and Iga Swiatek and obviously Coco Gauff, but that consistency will be what makes the difference, because I think there was always that understanding that this is someone who could challenge those three players, but tactically, mentally, physically, she often was at a deficit. And how does she recover mentally and emotionally from this stretch? There was a lot of talk about her not being able to play in Austin before Indian Wells, and I'm thinking like if she was seriously planning on competing in that tournament and then going to play 4 straight weeks of Indian Wells in Miami, that was like a misguided decision from the beginning. Like, take the time off to fully recover, do your training, and come back in Indian Wells in Miami, because that's going to be the first big, that's your homecoming effectively. And you are going to get a lot of media. I don't think it's going to be judgmental media, but it's going to be a lot of media obligations and requests. And how do you balance that? And then while also playing on a surface that will benefit you in front of a crowd who's waiting to root for you, and it'll be the last two big tournaments before Wimbledon that you can really put your mark on this season, and so you really want to ease into that one.
And in talking about Austin too, so for those that don't know, she's actually not allowed to compete in Austin, because what happened was, in Austin is a newer 250 on the WTA tour. Madison Keys agreed to participate in the tournament, which was great because at the time that she announced that she could participate, she was 21 in the world. After her success in Adelaide and winning her Grand Slam in Melbourne, she blasted into the top 10, is now currently sitting at the live rankings at number 7. What happened was, according to the WTA officials and rules, only one top 10 player in the rankings is allowed to play, let's just say, that low level of a tournament in the field. Since Jessica Pegula has already committed to playing that tournament, Madison Keys technically isn't allowed to play anymore. So she has to skip it, and she will basically just go straight to Indian Wells and play there, right?
I think we all learned a little bit about the ranking cutoff for WTA tournaments. I feel like we all kind of knew that there's a 6 week cutoff for slams, but I don't think we realized that there's a 4 week cutoff for WTA tournaments. And so the fact that I think that's really what caught people by surprise, the fact that her results in Australia would have any bearing on a tournament less than a month out, and realizing that because it's 4 weeks, she cannot enter. But I think, I don't know, I would have been surprised if she entered that tournament. If she like if even if she could have been there, I don't know if she would have gone. Maybe she would have gone and done like an exhibition or something. I don't know if that's something that you play so soon.
Here's my train of thought. One, I think she was going to get the appearance fee because she was top 30 in the world, and having a name like her come to a tournament like that, same with Pegula. And this can all be conjecture in this sense too, because she gets an appearance fee, comes to Austin, and say she does end up, like, she doesn't be top 10. Say she's at 11. She still goes to Austin, excuse me. shows up, pulls out last second, but still does press media and everything in Austin, which we have seen in the past from players that that can happen because they are still obligated to partake in whatever is going on the grounds and with them because they literally have a contractual obligation to do certain things if they are getting an appearance fee. That's what I thought would happen with that kind of announcement. But to say that she can't go at all is kind of, I don't know if that's an outdated rule or if it's just a way, they say it's a way of keeping the field even or balanced, which is, which.
They don't want players who are ranked too high to be crowding 250 draws. They want to be able to create this, tier system where,
Yeah.
you're playing and competing in 250s, you get your ranking high enough to graduate to the 500s,
Yeah.
graduate to that, et cetera. So, I mean, I understand the logic. It feels like it's such a one in a million situation,
It
and
is.
one cannot help but wonder if that was a bit of a promotional, opportunity for this tournament to be able to say, oh, well, we were going to have this player, but she won a slam and she can't. In a
But it
way, it eliminated the question of whether she would or would not, which
exactly.
maybe made things better
I
for
think
them.
I well, if we look at special exemptions that all these players get too sometimes, and then I guess the live they're really following live rankings now instead of what, like for me, like after I'm surprised it's not based on what your ranking is when you enter, not afterwards.
No, it's 4. Clearly it's 4 weeks for the WTA and 6 weeks for a slam, which does, allow you to, potentially get your ranking up to a point where you could get into that slam main draw.
Yeah.
Usually it's thought of as a positive thing. One doesn't often think of it as a thing that would eliminate them from a tournament that they may or may not want to compete in.
Yes. And I think I just feel bad because I think that would have been such a great field for Austin and to be at the WTA 250 in a newer tournament too, to kind of have that name recognition and power would be great. But
Although in
if
Texas, their cup runneth over right now. I mean, in Dallas, there's like a sick draw of like all those American guys competing.
the tournament
So,
looks good too. I've been
yeah.
talking to people that are there and the setup at, as a Giants fan, I hate saying that the Cowboys facility is really nice, but they're saying that this is probably, and from what I've heard from players, they're saying it's some of the best ATP 500s that they've ever been to, like in
Wow.
terms of hospitality and show. I need to put it on once we're done with this because I want to see how the layout looks like. Definitely, it's run by the same New York Open people too, so
Oh, okay.
which is pretty
Yeah, I mean,
cool.
I know people complained about it, but I enjoyed Fort Worth. I thought it was a very well-run
So
WTA
did
Finals.
I.
I thought it was,
I was
I
shocked
didn't have
by
a problem
that.
with it.
I was shocked by that. And plus, it's like a Texas circuit right now because it's going to be Dallas, Austin, and then Houston for clay, which I think is wild to think. Like, there's so much going on right there. Why wouldn't you have the WTA finals still in Fort Worth at a big arena? Do you want to say,
Reasons. Well,
do you want me to say money or do you want to say money is the reason?
I don't even know if we have to say it, Phil. Let's not be crass on this podcast.
We're
Talk
always
about things
crass on
like
this.
money.
You make
You're the one bringing up appearance fees and things like
me
that.
uncomfortable on my own channel.
Oh,
Let's just say that. Speaking
nicest thing you've ever
of,
said to me.
for those that are listening, you can't tell, but I'm flipping him off.
People don't just watch us. I just assumed it's such a visual. Why wouldn't they be tuning in to see our beautiful faces?
Well, because I now have, by the way, you can listen to all my interviews now on Your Ball Was Out podcast on all podcast platforms.
It's breaking news.
This is breaking news. I don't talk about it that much because it's still in soft launch form. And I've only promoted it once or twice. So
I have time between my Housewives podcast. I will definitely give it a listen. I hear good things.
thank you. I appreciate it. It's mostly all our interviews and chats like this, but if you guys want to check it out, please make sure to subscribe to that and check it out on all podcast platforms. Continuing with that Austin theme, Petra Kvitova. Welcome
She's
back to the
back.
she's back after having a child.
Yes, Phil.
Okay, I was just confirming. I wasn't 100% sure, so that's why my face looks like this. I went, child? Yes, because she had a child. It's going to be good to have her back. There's only what? How many lefties can you think of off the top of your head right now, besides Leyla Fernandez?
Olga Danilovich.
Okay, that's two.
Okay.
Ellen Perez.
Okay.
Am
Well,
I
Taylor Townsend.
wrong?
I mean, if we're gonna start naming
Am
guys
I
and players, and
wrong?
sure,
Am I
Taylor Townsend.
wrong?
I
Okay.
know, but I mean that was quite a pull.
Thank you. Welcome to the way my brain works. Doubles players are tennis players. Must
Yeah,
point that out.
I've been told. I was reminded of this on the Gay Tennis Podcast. The women's doubles is not to be missed. I said, oh, I'll have to tune into that one
Siniaková,
in between.
yes. Vondrousova.
Avandrusova, of course. Oh, how embarrassing. We brought her up earlier.
Yes, we did. So that's five. Taylor Townsend, Leyla Fernandez, Ellen Perez, Olga Danilovic, Markéta Vondrousova. Yeah, that's five.
Sure. We
Sure.
can count them on one hand.
Okay. Kvitova six. What? How exciting is this for WTA tennis?
Look, I don't know if it's like gonna really shake the table in terms of the landscape, but
That was awesome.
it's well, because listen, I mean, like at the age that she was at and at the point of her career, you felt like that was one where I am retiring to start a family. I was surprised. I was not expecting her to come
Yeah.
back. And I feel like it's right around the time where if she was going to make that decision, she would. You know, like there are some
That's
players
fair.
who, like, whether it's, you know, Elina Svitolina or Belinda Bencic, they like their maternity leave was like, I don't know, 6 weeks. Like they like turn right back around or right back on tour. But like when with Kvitova taking the time that she did, you feel like, oh, this is someone who's settling into family life and well deserved. Someone who has like accomplished
A
so
lot.
much and
Yeah.
went through so much, you know, on the court, off the court, traumatically, like, you know, bad, you know, it was not an easy road for her. So you
Yeah.
would feel like that was
Her out.
the ending of a story. But at the same time, this is someone who has immense talent. And if
Yeah.
she's playing, if she's fit and she's healthy and she's playing well, she can, you know, upset the proverbial apple cart. You know, I just, I, it would be so early to say that this is, you know, someone who's coming back necessarily to win slams. It seems like, and she didn't even say that. She said she missed the competitive atmosphere and maybe just being on tour. And so I'm looking forward to seeing her back. She's great. She's a great interviewer. She's so nice, so easy to work with. So I'm looking forward to having her back in the fold for sure.
I think she's definitely going to bring another, like, it's fun to see players that go away for a little bit and then they come back and then you're reminded of how good they actually were, right? Like Svitolina and her run at Australia is another name that I wanted to bring up with you because it seems like Svitolina is finding that form and another giant gear change if we were going to talk about. With her, Madison Keys goes from Wilson, who used her almost her entire career, to Yonex, wins a slam. Alina Svitolina used Wilson for most of her career. Now with Diadem, which I don't even know how,
Interesting.
like, I did not expect that. That was probably one of the biggest pulls that they've ever had. I know
Well, are
Sasha.
they just getting into the racket
Nope.
market? They've been around.
They've been around with string and gear, but rackets only recently, but they've
Okay.
been for the past couple years, they've been producing some really good rackets. But to
Oh.
have a former top 10 player play and use your gear is outstanding.
Yeah, look, I'll say this. That is what has really been, that's what really sets the Svitolina comeback apart from really any other comeback. Like, this is someone who is so radically different than the player she was before she left. She's more aggressive. She's taking big risks. You know, she's
Yeah.
being more, you know, not only with her tactics, but with her equipment. I mean, that is a massive, you know, this is not the same as Wilson to Yonex. Just That's, you know, this
No,
is
it's
not an
true.
established brand where, oh my God, you know, 18 other players in on the tour play with this racket, and
Yeah.
clearly there's an established pattern of success with it. Like, this is a huge, this is someone who is really looking to innovate and take a big swing. And so I have
Literally.
tremendous appreciation for what Svitolina has accomplished since she came back. And she sets the bar for me so high. I mean, the thing with Kvitova is that she doesn't have a ton to change. You know, if she could
Yeah.
just be healthy and hit the ball the way she used to, she can be very much a force on tour. Svitolina, there were issues with the game before she left. And so the fact that she came back and came back better, you know, now we compare her to like a Belinda Bencic, perhaps. Like, how did Bencic improve in her time off? Like,
Exactly.
those are the two that you're looking to compare.
And I think too, when it comes to Svitolina, it not just I like the way you put it. It's aggressive in the way she came out after having her kid and changing her gear and the way she played to become a new player. I feel like this is I'm not going to make a bold claim and say that she's going to win one this year, but this shows that she really wants to push to win that slam. Like this is like it seems like this year she's really determining, okay, I want this so badly by doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I felt more confident in her ability to win a slam when she was still with her former coach, whose name I've forgotten on this podcast
I
before.
honestly,
Amanda Wang.
I
Oh
don't
my
look at me like that for
God.
that.
Oh, yeah, it's escaped me again, but they're no
That's
longer
okay.
together, so it doesn't matter. She's back with Bettles, who she'd
Yes.
worked with previously. But like, when she was with him and she was healthy before all those injuries, she spent so much of last year injured, which
Yeah.
felt like such a why. Like, you know, we
Was
got
last year her first year back on tour, though?
no. She came back in 23 and had a great year, and then came
Holy
back in
shit.
24 and basically played all through 24 injured, and then stopped playing after the US Open. The US
Yeah.
Open was her first tournament since last year's US Open. But even during the clay in Rome, she was like, I have this foot injury, and because of the foot injury, I picked up back into, just like,
Yeah.
it was the compensation injuries. I was like, girl, like, take a break. Like, this is ridiculous. I mean, the way that she was talking about these injuries was like, you were doing yourself such a disservice because you've come back playing so well that they're,
Yeah.
you know, to play half baked at this point feels like an insult to the sort of, you know, the mission
Yeah.
statement here. But even injured, she played some real, even at that tournament, she almost beat Sabalenka at a
Yeah.
match point on clay. So, I mean, now that she's healthy again, you know, to put her in the slam conversation, I feel like she probably would have had to beat Keys, which
Yeah.
she didn't have like a not, you know, like a non-zero chance of that happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's certainly one of those players in that second tier that you're looking for to make another slam, to be
To push.
competing for slam quarterfinals. You know, can
Yeah.
she make semifinals? And then if she's in that deep, you know, really see her be tested in this another slam semifinal or final would
Yeah.
be really interesting, because that's the final frontier now. We've
Yeah.
seen the technical, tactical improvements. How much mentally stronger are you? You know, that win over Swiatek, I'll never forget that, because I never thought in
Yeah.
a million years she would win a match like that.
Yeah.
And she was playing so aggressively in that last game, and you're like, oh, my God. Before the parade passes by, Alina Svitolina, oh my God, like, taking control of your destiny. Like, that was, you
That
don't
was
see it. You
incredible.
don't see it
It's
happen. And
incredible.
so many players, what Coco Gauff is trying to do, very
Yeah.
impressive, to try to like really revamp your game. What Sabalenka's done, you know,
Yeah.
revamp the serve, you know, fix the technique. You know, like, that is an interesting wrinkle of this generation of players who are making like radical changes, where we saw players previously maybe adjust their fitness, where we have
Yeah.
not seen like technical, tactical changes, and it's really changing the landscape of the game. So,
I
and
feel like
proving that
that's
it
just
can be done.
I feel like that's just overdue in women's tennis in that regard because it figuring out the best way versus out hitting someone has become such a great way of improving. Like with Barty too, like I think it all started with Barty, to be honest. Like the way she changed the way players, at least from a different tactical point of view, like Barty was probably one of the smartest players on tour when she played. Just from her slice, the way she utilized the court, the way she was able to just bring players forward and absolutely obliterate them. Like if every player played like that, I think it would just be a totally different game. But seeing all this revamped technical and tactical ways that these players are now coming back to, I feel like this has been a long time coming.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning about Keys and feeling like this was a player who maybe just thought that eventually she would win a slam. And now we're seeing this slew of players, Keys included, saying that it's not just going to come to me. I'm going to have to make a change to my game. And we're seeing a payoff, whether from Keys to Sabalenka to potentially Goff and potentially Svitolina. So.
And talking about players that need an absolute overhaul, if we talk about Maria Sakkari,
We're still talking about Maria Sakkari in 2025.
but
I mean, I look, she's sweet and I love her and she's fantastic, but I don't know if that I mean,
like,
I feel
do we
like
need to
it's
talk about her, or are we just gonna like go, this is gonna go down as probably one of the biggest implosions of.
no. Look, let's be honest. This is someone who achieved far more than I think a lot of people ever thought. It's the opposite of Keys, like someone who never we never pictured to be. If you gave me Sakkari and Keys and said who has the higher career high ranking, I think people would all say Keys, and it is not. It is Sakkari at number three, very nearly number two. Like someone who really punched above her weight, in terms of just being the fittest player on tour and being so consistent for the time that she was consistent that I don't really fault her for this dip, because I think the problems with her game were persist, which is that I don't think she's a naturally aggressive player. And it's very hard for her to maintain that level of aggression. She usually does it like once or twice a year. So like it's still, we got a long year ahead of us. Like, you know, she was playing like this coming into last year's Indian Wells. She made the final. So there, it's so early to even say anything, but I would not be, I would be remiss if I said it would be unfair to totally dump on her, because I don't think that the expectations were of her should have ever been that high. You know, to say that she was a disappointment would be to say that this was someone capable of elite level, you know, massively elite level results, and everything that she has achieved is far better than I think anybody expected. So.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that, but in the sense of she got so high, and then the absence of consistency with she got so close and yet she was so far for
Yeah,
her.
because there was a ceiling. There were players ahead of her who were like significantly just better at tennis. You know, like Iga Świątek does everything, is just as, in some ways, just as fit and just as like fleet of foot and has a much heavier game. You know, Sabalenka can hit through her, is a bigger, stronger player than Sakkari. So like,
But it was, I don't even think it was that. I felt like it was just more mental than anything for her. Like
well, yeah, I mean,
that was the bigger issue, and I
she
feel like
had to
it
be
still
so
is.
mentally tough to be, but it's like chicken or the egg. It's like you have to be so confident to maintain that level of sustained aggression that it's like, well, you're asking someone to be like unnaturally, like this was not like, you know, a step. This is someone who you're asking them to really redline for long periods of time. And so that's, and it's, it bears out, you know, like I knew it when she played Coco at Indian Wells. I'm just going to win this match. Like this was like, that was like teed up for her. Like that was her peak match of the year. You know, she usually Pliskova, the 2021 US Open. I was like, she's winning this match, like played amazing, like could not miss, you know, and then like shows up against Raducanu in the semifinals, doesn't play that well, you know, showed up against Iga and Indian Wells, didn't really show up. So, I mean, like, this is, yeah, I don't, she's great. And she will be a great voice and a great, you know, presence in tennis for years to come. You know, so I don't, there's, this is nothing less than a success story.
And there's nothing against her too in that sense, because she's doing all the right things. She's just looking to find that way to break back in. And if we look at Paula Badosa, that's what she did in Australia. Like, Badosa played, I think, some of the best tennis we've seen her play in 2 years.
Well, I mean, she's certainly building up to this level. I mean, I was impressed by how clutch she was against Coco in that quarterfinal. Like that was the final frontier, was the mental switch, because Badosa, unlike a Sakkari, is like just a taller, stronger, you know, more capable of being aggressive player. But in some ways, she does have that same issue where she's not a naturally offensive. I do think there's like not that same, it's not a Sabalenka level of
offense.
offense. And so I think
Well,
you're
no one's
asking her
that.
to kind of like step outside of herself a little bit. And
Yeah.
so, you know, I mean, this last year from her is like miraculous. I mean, this is someone who was like 2 minutes away from retiring, like had a seemingly like irreparable back injury and is like now playing better than ever. Like,
Yeah.
again, more like expectation defying results from player,
Yeah.
like people just really narrative busting transitions. So I was happy for her. I didn't really think that the semifinal was going to go differently than how it went, but that
No.
was a pretty you don't look again, you don't look at a Bedosa Goff Grand Slam quarterfinal and not think there's going to be like a mental dip from a Bedosa. But like,
Yeah.
to her credit, she played very strong, continued to like pressure the Goff forehand, which was not good that day. And
Yeah.
that's a problem that Goff will continue to have to deal with, I imagine, for the immediate future, that she will continue to have bad days like this as she continues to work through the adjustments that she needs to make. But
Yeah.
it's that all credit to Bedosa for winning that match, because
Oh,
I that's
100%.
again not something I thought that she necessarily had in her.
Yeah. And I think, and again, David, I can't thank you enough for coming on. Always fun having you here. The one of the biggest questions I posed to David before coming on the channel was, or the show, I should say, was talking about the Arena versus IGA brand and what.
A question that will make no one offended and no one
No,
upset.
and no one upset, but it's but I think I
Only
think I
positive things in
really
the comments.
always. But the one of the things that I someone pointed this out earlier, or I was thinking about this, just if we were to compare Arena or IGA and IGA to see who can grow the brand of the WTA more, is it just obviously Sabalenka?
Well, I mean, honestly, it feels like a false dichotomy because, like, I feel like the real answer is Coco. Like, this is like the only like obvious star in the bunch,
Yeah.
and she's a Grand Slam champion. She could be. I mean, listen, looking at the way that the points are shaking out over the next couple of weeks, next couple of months, my conspiracy theory is that she might really, you know, compete for number one because, you know, Arena's not defending a ton of points. Iga's defending a lot, but
Yeah.
Coco's not defending a lot either. So, like, you
Yeah.
wonder if, like, you know, if Coco wins, like, Doha, that's 1,000 points. All of a sudden, she's not that far behind Arena, who then might be, you know, competing with her, you know, as early as the clay court season. But
Yeah.
between Arena and Iga, I mean, you do have to give the nod to the more extroverted, social media savvy player,
Yeah.
which would be Arena, the player who is like, you know, a very good TikToker, remarkably so, and now also has the backing of, you know, the Evolve agency, Naomi Osaka's
And
agency.
Stu's, yeah.
Yeah, Stu's, yeah, Stuart Dugitz. You know, so like that is interesting to see what he can do, what he and they can do for Arena in terms of brands, you know, sponsorships. I did see a headline that was like, you know, even as successful as Arena has been on the court, her off-court endorsements lag behind. I mean, obviously she has a lot of like institutional handicaps because of where she
She,
comes from, you know.
yes, but the brands that she's currently worked with, Whoop did customize bands for her,
Whoop.
which it, that's a soundbite for Instagram. But it Whoop's one that customized her, and Whoop was one that was just for the WTA in general, but now they're really tailoring towards Arena. AP, the watch brand, she's wearing $40,000 watches now all the fucking time. Oakberry was a really cool one that she's been promoting as well, which is fantastic. Nike now coming out with her own logo and customized outfits, which is
Yeah,
great to
that I'm
see.
excited about. I want to see more custom kits from Nike with Arena. That would be the real nod of like, this is someone who we believe is the next
About
star
time,
of our game.
which
Yeah.
is
I mean,
about time.
and she's in, and she wants it. Like, I spoke
Yeah.
to her in China last year. Like, she wants that custom line, and she's like, she has ideas and is interested in fashion. Like, you know, reward her. She's won
Yeah.
three slams. She is the number one player in the world. Like, bet on her, I guess, for lack of a better phrase.
Do you think they'll bet on her more than Naomi?
No. Well, it's like,
It depends. It's
will
very
they match
different.
her energy? I feel like I don't know if they'll bet more on Naomi in the future, but I think they will continue to do what they've been doing for Naomi. I guess,
Well, it's
thinking about it that
successful.
way.
I honestly, the way Naomi's been doing with the Nike brand has been great. I think when she first came out with her line, like I have some of her stuff. I have the Comme des Garçons Naomi shoes. I have the hoodie. Like her brand with Nike is fantastic, but I wonder how loud they would be able to go with Sabalenka, especially with the commercial that just came out for Sabalenka as well with the serves. And that's like a classic Nike commercial that you would have for tennis players. I will say the AI looking generated Fox for Jannik Sinner sucks ass, and I don't care what anyone says. That thing looks like it was generated for a kid's book.
You mean you, all those like, explanations of all the symbolism behind that fox like doesn't move you?
The logo looks better than the actual foxes. Like the logo that's on Darren Cahill's and Simone Vignozzi's hat look better than the actual fox that was on his jumper. Like,
Oh, I see.
you see what I mean? Like the
Yeah.
JS and like the fox thing on his hat versus
Sure.
the like literal looking fox with a Nike hat on his jumper
Ah. Oh, yes.
versus
Yeah, I mean,
Sabalenka with the tiger laces and the tiger on the shoe, which is pretty sick.
yeah, I mean, I like that. I like this is someone who, and talk about like branding. Like this is someone
Yes.
who's got like signifiers, like and probably of all of these players, like the clearest signifier, like the tiger. You know, like
Yeah.
it's very much reminiscent of the bull. You know,
Yeah.
Rafael
Rafa.
Nadal.
How
Kept
can
wanting to
you
say
forget
Naomi.
him? How can you
No,
forget Rafael Nadal already? It's been a
kept wanting to
year.
say
It's been a
Naomi. No, no,
year.
no, no, Naomi. I mean, like I think, look, will they put Arena in like the Sailor Moon like Harajuku kit? I don't think they'll go that big for Arena, but I would like to see some like she was talking about like custom silhouettes, custom like textures and fabrics.
Well,
So
they're
like
going to
I
need to anyways because it's been 2 years now and Nike's been only giving her like her own color versus like their own line. And I'm wondering how well they're how much longer do you think it's going to be before she gets her signature like
silhouette. Yeah,
logo?
I mean, like these sorts of things are,
Like the
you think
logo
they're like,
itself is what's missing for her.
yeah,
Yannick has his.
these sorts of things are
Naomi
sort of
has
planned
his.
out like a year in advance. You feel like we're, you would think by the US Open, you know, like time might catch up with itself and like they'll debut it ahead of, you know,
I'm gonna have to ask some
her.
people for us, David. I'm gonna have
But
to
it's
ask them.
true. We're seeing a lot of like redundant silhouettes. Like, I mean, Arena's basically been wearing the same dress for like 3 years. Iga Świątek's basically wearing the same outfit. Like, you know, and it's so funny because we're coming off of the AO with like what we saw from Destiny Ayava, who famously like
Yeah,
was Poshmark
that was
Depop.
sick. That
And
was
you
sick.
think like, what an obvious win if you're a fashion house in the sense of like, you know, if from year to year these kits do not look that different. How much more money would you make by like pushing out like a nostalgia line, like, oh, look, the 10-year anniversary of this Sharapova outfit, like the 15-year. And I feel like Reebok's done that in the past with like Michael Chang, or like even a few years ago, Nike did a line in tribute to Andre Agassi in
That
2020.
was, yeah, 2020, 2019. That was a really fun one. It was like the 90s jean look.
Exactly. Like you
There's
feel like
stuff
you
that they
almost
can do, but
like
that's,
retro would
yeah.
probably be the way to go if you're a fashion house, or go really, because they don't seem to want to take big risks. Might as well lean into nostalgia because.
The most recent thing I've seen for Iga was they, I actually have a photo of it and she posted it on her story. It's like Ons like customizing words on her shoes. Like she's in her own tour or own era, whatever it is,
Sure. Yes,
because
yes, yes.
she's
I saw that.
obsessed about Taylor Swift. But in terms of their own line for Iga, I will give On a pass because of how new it is. Last year was really the first full year we had all the athletes, like with branding, and more athletes are joining this year. So I will give them a pass. Despite them looking like a fucking lemonade drink this past year at the Australian Open, everyone hated it.
Yeah, it's just a lack of diversity with the silhouettes that they're trying to make up for with crazy colors. You know, like
Yeah.
sherbety, like that sherbety half color. Like it's, I
Yeah.
don't know. It's just, I feel like
No,
a
I
lot of these
agree.
players are starting to wear the same out. And I feel like I'm not used to that. I'm used to like feeling like from quarter to quarter, there'd be like some fairly
Something
different
new.
silhouettes happening. Like
Yeah.
players look different from month to month. So like now
Yeah.
it's sort of just like, Iga went from wearing basically the same outfit in A6 to now she's wearing the same outfit in On. And it's not an Iga thing because Ben Shelton's been basically wearing the same outfit in On throughout his tenure. So it's not even you can't blame on one particular player. But in a world of Taylor Swift's, I guess be a Sabrina Carpenter is probably the story here.
Do you think Beyoncé should have won Country Album of the Year?
I'm glad she finally won album of the year because it's about time. But like, if I were to give it to any of her albums, I would have given it to Renaissance. I mean, I got a WhatsApp from our mutual friend Gil Gross, who also thought that Beyonce should have won for Lemonade. And I'm like, well, at least she lost to le lost with Lemonade to Adele. Like, to lose the Renaissance album to Harry Styles. Can you name more than one song on that album?
Can you
Damn it.
name more than one song from Beyonce's country album? And also,
Yes.
how does she beat out Chris Stapleton?
Who? This is the divide. This is the gay straight divide happening right now in real time.
The real like real country artist Chris Stapleton. How the fuck do you beat that?
Could not pick him out of a
I know you couldn't. It's
lineup.
okay. He's only
Again,
won.
I was rooting for Sabrina Carpenter. I would have loved to see her sweep. I'm glad she won the two. She swept the pop albums. Love her. She's a comedian like me.
She yes, you two are the same person, Dave.
We're very similar.
Oh Jesus.
We're very
But
Betty Boopish.
if
Boop boop be doop.
yep, that's another. That's I'm literally
We're both
just
short
gonna.
and sweet.
I'm literally, this is the only thing I'm putting on Instagram when I go back over this. This is
This
David.
is
Hey,
the real.
this is how this works. It's just David making beep boop bop boop boop. It's
I
like,
just riff.
it's yes, you're full of jazz. Good job, David. Yes, Coco seems like the over both of them, but Sabalenka over Iga. That's the consensus
Is
that we
also
have
a
right now.
testament to like I don't know if Ego wants to be the like the zeitgeist player, you know. And I
Why?
think if she wanted to, she could be, but I don't know if she wants. I think Arena definitely wants to be, and
Yeah.
so that also gives a bit of it like maybe her fans, like Ego's fans, would like her to be more, you know, up front and center. But I don't think if as long as Ego doesn't really want to be, I don't know if she would
Well,
be.
let me ask you this. How are people reacting to Iga's failed drug test?
Oh, I don't. I mean, I think everybody pretty much agrees that it was, one of those accidents. You know, I don't know if anyone. I mean, there's
So
been so much
minuscule.
oxygen devoted to the Jannik Sinner situation that and especially like to have that as a contrast of like the way in which like they're not appealing Iga's, but they are appealing
Yannick's.
Jannik's for with WADA. So like, I think that also helps. I mean, it seems like just awful. Terrible bad luck, but also a testament to like you have to be so careful. Like anything you put in your body could potentially,
Well, that's why a lot of
trigger.
people, I think someone. Oh, that's what Raducanu said. She didn't put on like bug spray because that's I don't. Raducanu is another story that we could do a whole podcast on.
That felt like a
Honestly,
tall tale
that's yes,
at one
honestly, it
point.
is. And but it seems like too with Simona Halep playing her first tennis match in I think 2 years at this year's Transylvania Open, that's happening right now.
She played last year, Phil.
Then who's saying that she's the first time she's playing in 2 years? Where, what headline am I reading?
It's
Okay.
definitely
Since
no.
last
She
year. Let's
played,
just go since last year.
since last year.
But she's still like hounding about her own. Like,
Like she's still talking about it? What do you mean?
yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would too. Especially, I mean, especially if like, since it turned out in a positive, like she got to come back, like she'll always look back and feel like, well, if that's all, if this is how it ended, then why was I, off the tour for even longer? So.
Yeah. Same with there's a couple other players too. Brooksby, Ymir, these are all different cases, but it's like you see that and then Halep's still yelling from her soapbox about it.
I mean, this is, I think she'd have less to say about it if she was playing better, but as the results don't bear out, have,
Yep,
what do
that
you,
leave it to David to say that. I won't say that, but David will.
I mean, I think as the results pile up, you feel like you cannot help but think that if I had been able to not be off
That's
for as
fair.
long as I was, maybe I would have been,
That's fair.
it's a constant reminder, just like,
That's fair. I'll give you that. David, I can't thank you enough for coming back on
such a
to.
violent pivot to end this
It's not a
podcast.
violent pivot. It's
Fashion,
just.
fashion, fashion, doping. It's like, really? It's just like,
Awesome. That's fantastic. That's awesome. That was
it's like the
hysterical.
Joker. The
No, I'm not the Joker.
Joker school of tennis journalism. Speaking of fashion, what do you think of Iga's
Icons,
doping?
fashion, doping, Simona Halep yelling.
No, but I'm glad we spent a lot of time talking about fashion because as I said to begin with, this is the gay tennis pod, this is the gay tennis podcast as long as I'm on it. I
Help.
converted him, ladies and
No,
gentlemen.
I will hang up this call right now.
I love your microphone, by the way. I love that it's got the logo.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
For
It's a sticker.
those,
Would you
I'm
like,
making sure to explain
are
for people who
you?
cannot see it.
I'm surprised you haven't worn my shirt on this channel yet.
Didn't I?
Once.
Should I wear it all the time?
Yes, for the brand.
Sleep in it. I'm kidding. I know. It's so tight.
Fucking run away. David, thank you so much for joining us today. I really do appreciate it. Make sure to follow David on his social media, DK Tennis on Instagram and Twitter, I believe. Correct?
Yeah, well, technically.
Technically. Is there any
Oh, and Blue
pieces?
Sky.
Blue Sky?
Yeah, Blue Sky.
What's Blue Sky?
It's like Twitter, but less racist.
Racist. Okay. X or Instagram, please follow him. David, are there any pieces that we should be looking out for that you're coming out with soon? Or any
Oh,
chats?
well, I am getting ready. I'm getting ready to go on my first trip of the year. I'm going to be heading to the Middle East in a couple of weeks. I'll be going to Dubai, so definitely
Be
stay
careful out there.
tuned because I will be there for the fall WTA tournament and for the beginning of the ATP. So hopefully, I'll get a lot of
Wow.
really great interviews.
That's awesome.
Yes, with players, and they'll all hopefully be in a really good mood because Dubai is like the home tournament for like half the
Half of them.
tennis world at this point,
Because
and so
everyone loves tax-free.
it's a great tournament. It really is. It's like the press room is like right off of the center court. So like a player will like win a match, go right off court, immediately do a press conference.
That's
It's like
awesome.
great vibes. And there's
Awesome.
a fantastic Cheesecake Factory at the Dubai Mall, which I cannot recommend it hard enough. It was just so good. The waiter was so like impressed when he found out I was from the state. He was like,
go to
"How does it
Dubai,
compare?"
go to a Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
What a life.
Started as a joke, and no, it's
Now
real.
it's real.
That's a thing that I do.
I'm so proud of you. David, thank you again so much for joining us. Make sure to follow him. Make sure you are subscribed to the Tweenerhead Tennis YouTube channel. Make sure to check out Your Ball Was Out podcast, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you guys so much for watching. Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye, David.